bring that up to CAC to.
You look nice today.
Sorry?
I said you look nice today.
Thank you. You look nice today too, Katie. You look nice every day.
Everyone looks nice today, but I can only see.
Oh, and look at Adarsh.
How do I look? How do I look?
Friends? Long hair.
Look today.
If everyone looks on their cameras, I will give everyone a compliment.
Say it to me then. My camera's on.
Joel, you look very nice today.
My camera's on.
Hey,
how's it going? It, thanks, Darsh is waiting for his compliment. He's getting a little.
You look very
nice. Darsh, your yellow shirt.
Yellow.
Oh, thank you. I love
Is that the pool?
Yeah.
I don't even have a
I actually lifeguarded there for like 2 years. So.
Yeah. That's how we met.
Yeah.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Oh.
Swimming.
I don't even have a pool shirt.
Oh, I also
made a pool, Katie. Me, Katie, Finding Nemo, we all met in the water.
Where's Sama?
Lana, you look nice today. Who else has their camera on?
David, Tyler, David again. Two Davids.
Julia looks like she isn't listening, though. David, Dave, you look very nice today, and so does David.
Nicole's eyebrows are amazing, I must say. Awesome. Very amazing.
Anna, I like your glasses.
Thanks, Alana.
No one else. Hey. But I know you all look nice in my heart.
That's what really matters, eh, Katie?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how that would mean.
Outer beauty.
All right, everyone. So we've got 24 participants, 26 participants in our chat here now. So we've got quorum, but we'll get things started. So coming right at 6 o'clock here. Thank you to everybody here for tuning in to our third meeting of Students Council officially here now. We're just going to quickly, in lieu of a smudging ceremony, start things off with our territory acknowledgement. So we would like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We are grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Salto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papas Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. And as members of the University of Alberta Students Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. Excellent. And so with that, I do not have any real administrative updates for y'all right now coming from our end. We're going to be keeping with the Google Form voting system. It just seems to be working fairly well to send out the links. But I will ask that all of our guests of council register now in the chat here, and then we'll start up with our attendance. I noticed we had the gateway in attendance at the start here today. Perfect. So P is here from the gateway. We'll just make that noted and officially registered as a guest, but we'll start off with attendance here. President Agarwal.
Present.
Excellent. Vice President Draper.
Present and accounted for.
Excellent. Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Cron.
Present.
Vice President Kidd.
Hello.
Board Rep Conrad.
Hi.
Councillor Carbajal was absent today. I received an email. Councillor Dixon.
Yep.
Councillor DeGrano.
Here.
Councillor Marquise. Councillor Oliveira.
Here.
Councillor Veloso?
Here.
Councillor Yabut? Councillor Berhani? Excellent. Councillor Soretsky?
Present.
Councillor Ackerman?
Present. My apologies.
All good. Councillor Batiki?
Present.
Councillor Bid?
Present.
Councillor Bose?
Here.
Councillor Hariharan?
Present.
Councillor Montero?
Here.
Councillor Buchanan?
Present.
Councillor Filipovich? Councillor Brandwein?
Here.
Councillor Enerson? Councillor Badesha?
Hey, Nathan.
Councillor Barazesh?
Present.
Councillor Dillon?
Present.
Councillor Futang?
Present.
Councillor Kamani?
Present.
Councillor Corday? All right, I am here. General Manager Mark, are you here? All right, okay. So Now that attendance is out of the way here, just quickly taking a look at the late ads, we have one motion from Vice President Cron, as well as an information item from the Finance Committee and from the Board of Governors representative. We'll special order all of those onto the main agenda today. I didn't see any problem with any of that. And in lieu of any presentations on the agenda, we'll just go right into our executive reports here. So I'll just ask that any members of the executive committee that would like to submit a verbal report to council to please indicate so in the chat, and then I'll call upon you here momentarily. Excellent. Vice President Draper, go ahead. You've got 2 minutes.
Perfect. Hello, everybody. So rather than reiterate what I wrote in my report provided to council, I'm just going to assume that you've all read it and instead talk about something that I find quite important to myself. Yesterday started the start of Pride Month. And as a queer person in this position, I feel like it's my duty to really provide some context for what Pride really is. Pride is a protest. It was a protest that was championed by Black and queer trans advocates, or Black and trans queer advocates. Pride does not just mean raising a rainbow flag once a year and claiming you're an ally. It does not mean having your company sell queer rainbow items and claiming that you're a Pride store. It means actively challenging the systems of power which exist to limit the self-actualization of people in our world, be they queer or otherwise. Pride means using our power to actively support queer people in meaningful ways rather than milking allyship for public announcements or shows of support without events to back it up. Although the world for queer folks has come a long way, there's still a lot of progress that still needs to be made. We live in a province where conversion therapy is still legal. We live in a country where I cannot donate blood because I'm in a committed relationship with another man. We live in a province where the wait time to see a specialist to refer somebody to begin hormone therapy is well over 3 years. But not all things are bad. At the U of A, there is just a small victory today where the university showed that they're listening to trans and queer people on campus and acted on those complaints that they are putting forward. But there's still a lot to do, and at the forefront of that right now is supporting and joining protests against racial injustice taking place across the world. So happy Pride to everybody, but don't forget what it is, why it is, and what actively celebrating Pride truly means, especially in light of what's going on around the world right now. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper, for your impactful report. Next to Vice President Lay. Vice President Lay, would you like to go ahead?
I can go ahead while he sorts himself out, if that would alleviate some pressure from him.
Yeah, go ahead, Vice President Cron.
Okay, thanks. Good luck, Rowan. All right, so hello, everyone. Lovely to be here. I just want to pull out a few highlights of some things that I have been working on that I'm really excited to share with you and that you'll be hearing more about today. Specifically, I guess I'm talking about the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee. I can say that that's something that I have been working on quite a bit. And you've heard about it, you've seen standing orders, you've seen it all. I'm really excited to say that that is starting to get to sort of take off there. So that's something really exciting that I have been working on. Start thinking now if you're interested in possibly joining the committee. It's something very cool that you could be a part of to further sustainability on our campus and in our students' union. I am still actively working on UPass negotiation prep. I'm really happy to say that we have gotten together with other student associations to begin working together with them to create a united ask to take to the city. And I'm very excited that seems to be a very amicable working relationship. And we're meeting again just on Thursday to talk about more specifics. You can see some other items in my report, but that's essentially the most noteworthy things that I am excited to talk about. But if you have any questions, you can, of course, always reach out. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. Vice President Lay, are you good to go?
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry about that. Just been having a few problems with my computer today. All right. So just to quickly recap things that were in my written report, I had a cause meeting earlier today where we went over a number of items, most of which were just discussion items, but we did also add one item to write a statement on behalf of cause regarding the protests around police violence and institutional racism that are happening right now. So what I'm going to be doing after council is working on a good draft of that statement, which we will be able to publish tomorrow. In other cause news, I met with our government relations firm to discuss the contract that we have with them, and we were able to negotiate a much better contract, which is 50% cheaper than the previous one. And since UASU is by far the largest contributor to the cause budget, that will save many, many thousands of dollars every year to UASU. Not directly, but as in our fees can be used for other things through cause. So we're pretty pleased with that. We do not think we lost very much value. We were simply able to change so that our government relations agreement didn't cover things that we could already do ourselves and instead focused more on specialized expertise. Myself and President Agarwal also went to the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations Foundations Conference. I'm going to be on the National Advocacy Committee of CASA, which is responsible for running campaigns across the country targeted at the federal government. I am also working on setting up a series of meetings around Campus Saint-Jean to see how we can do more long-term advocacy for sustainable funding. And short-term, we're trying to meet with the minister to figure out how we can get Campus Saint-Jean through the next year without the significant cuts they've been looking at. And the one last thing is, after discussing it with the Black Student Association and ASC, we are looking as an executive to start a process to create a campus policing policy. We think that that's an important response to what's going on in the world right now and a good way that we can make a difference close to home. So that will be on the agenda as a discussion item for the next policy committee meeting.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Lay. Vice President Kidd, you've got the floor here.
All right. Hi, everyone. I hope you are doing well and staying healthy. I had a bump in 2 weeks, one might say. It was really busy with a lot of different projects going on. And a lot of different projects going on with different VPs. So I'm involved in the UPass negotiations with Vice President Cron, as well as the health and dental plan and the e-scooters. So there's been a lot going on. Beyond my report, one of the things that I've been working on is a suicide prevention implementation framework group. So that's the university's policy for how they will handle student deaths. And the framework is pretty much finished. It's moving on to the Dean of Students in the next few weeks here. So that will be a good way to make sure that the university is handling student deaths in the most caring and empathetic way possible. Beyond that, I've also been working on a survey that will be going out to students who are on work experience about incidents of misconduct and sexual violence. That will be going out for the Students Union in June, and I will keep you guys updated on it because it is very important to me that we get the most amount of respondents possible so that survivors have their stories heard and that we can guide our future advocacy on this issue. So expect more from that. Beyond that, I also recommended you guys a new book. If anyone's paid attention, it's a really good book called Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed. And finally, plus one to everything David said. I couldn't have said it better myself, so I won't. I will leave it as it is. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you. President Agarwal, you've got the floor here for 2 minutes.
Joel, you're muted.
You're muted, Joel.
Oh my gosh. Can you start the time off?
Yeah, you got 2 minutes, Joel.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will also plus one what VP Draper said. I think that's very important, which is something we should all be thinking about more deeply. It's been a very impactful and eventful past 2 weeks. VP Lay and myself have been, we were at the Canadian Alliance of Students Association Foundations Conference. So a lot of introductory sections on elections to boards and certain committees. So that was very, very interesting. The entire executive team attended the ACFA town hall regarding some of the major cuts that are happening at Campus Saint-Jean. Many of you have heard of that. And we are actively working to see what ways we can support them. We're in contact with the president of ACFA, as well as the dean of CSJ and student leaders. So keep an eye on that. And if you have any ideas on how else we can be supporting the movement and representing students there, please do reach out to any of the executives. The big update, I was able to attend the Academic Restructuring Working Group, which has met now two times with students already. So myself as a SU representative and Mark Waddingham as the GS Graduate Student Association representative are the two students on this committee. Very, very big changes. Many of you were probably at the town hall today. There are going to be some big changes to the structure, administrative and academic at the University of Alberta. So I'm dedicated, and the entire executive team is dedicated to ensuring, you know, students are represented and that, you know, quality of education is a priority going into these changes. And finally, I'm working on a mental wellness course, working with some folks from the university, implementing it hopefully within a week of welcome, so first years can have access to material for the entire year to help in COVID transition. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. So this will conclude our executive reports, and we'll move on to board and committee reports here. And the way that we'll structure this one is I'll call on the board or the committee, and then either like a chair or like a designate to speak upon that committee can just hop on the mic and speak to it rather than having to take the delay on the speakers list. So with that, we'll start with the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee.
Hi, everyone. So with ARC at the moment, we've started initial communication with ASC, which has been amazing. And we're waiting on nominations for the students at large as well, so that we can vote on a permanent chair for this year, I guess. And yeah, we're just working on our relationship with them, and it's been great so far.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Dillon. As well as Audit Committee.
Yes, hello. Audit Committee has not formally met yet. We've had meetings for transitions and organizing ourselves, and our chair is providing us with updates this week, and we'll meet for the first time and start working on audits next week.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Badesha. Bylaw Committee.
Hello. So Bylaw Committee met on May 25th, 5 p.m., and so far we've worked on the Sustainable Capital Fund Committee, which Vice President Cron has done such a fantastic job of spearheading. And then we've initiated the process of bylaw review, so we're just getting those going underway. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Futang. Council Administration Committee?
Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing well. We had a council administration committee meeting just before the student union meeting started. We had a presentation by the CRO, Munib Arsen, and he presented on having videos made by councillors for outreach. So these videos will include, this will be 30-second videos that will be posted on social media, and they will include what is Students Union, what is GFC, what are the roles of councillors, what is it that we advocate for, and why should students vote, and why should students become candidates for these positions. And so I would like all councillors, if you have questions about this, please bring it up so that we can discuss this and we can get started on making videos. This was passed in CAC today. We also discussed about councillors' jackets. As you are all aware, councillors do get jackets which they wear for WOW, TAWOW, any outreach events. And so we got started on the discussion, and I would like to encourage all councillors to attend the next CAC meeting where we will be making the selection for the counselor's jackets. I will be sending WhatsApp links on the WhatsApp group about the jackets which have been chosen in the past and the jackets we made, the options we have for this year. So be on the look for that. And we also will be reviewing the progress of the standing committees. Permanent members of CAC will be reaching out to the different standing committees to find out whether they've met, whether they've set their goals, and what is their plan for the year. That's all from CAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bid. Can we hear from the executive committee?
Okay, so this time I'm unmuting. So thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the executive committee has been working very extensively again on the executive goals. We're in the process of still drafting our version. We presented it to some of the managers, some of the staff in the SU for feedback. So we're working on that in the next couple weeks to bring it to council for feedback at some point this summer, and hopefully have the final marketed version by the end of the summer. We've been having a lot of conversations around fees and tuition, MNIFs and certain fees about what's going to be happening in the fall semester. And we will be releasing a statement regarding that later this week. And we've been quite extensively discussing a lot of the UPass negotiations, as well as academic restructuring, what that's going to look like. And hopefully, getting feedback from students. We're going to be putting out a survey around that to really get feedback onto the committee. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. On to Finance Committee.
Absolutely. So the most fun committee ever. We met last week and it was a great time. Most of what we've been doing, we were looking at trying to fill up some spots that were needed for SU awards and student group granting. I would encourage anyone, if you are interested in volunteering with that, it can be a very enriching experience. Some great members of Finance Committee have stepped up for that, and we are very thankful for them. It should be a really good time. Of a lot of award adjudication, it's a great way to be involved with helping students to receive the financial support that they need, and it's important work that the SU does. So just a short plug there. We made some amendments to our standing orders, as you can see in the attached information item for your perusal. Really, that was just those were based off of recommendations made by the folks involved in student group granting last year, those involved more on the staff side of things. So I hope that that's all taken in good faith. They're just small but productive changes to be made. We did some other, committee business to do with dedicated fee units and stuff. But otherwise, it was just a fun finance committee meeting. Looking forward to meeting again.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. Can we hear from Nominating Committee?
Sure thing. So Nominating Committee has met and has also met again on for an e-vote. We have a few things to announce. There have been applications out for ARC student large positions, for student group committee student large positions, as well as sustainability student large positions, as well as the Senate student positions as well. And today on the agenda, you'll see a motion on behalf of the Nominating Committee to ratify McBooley Fifth to a vacant position on GFC, which will be the first of the supplementary appointments to GFC, hopefully to fill up the entire caucus this year. And it's part of a new process that has started that we won through GFC last year to allow for an easier way to get students to fill empty spots on GFC. So that's gone through APSA, the Pharmacy Student Association, then to NOMCOM, then to Council, then I send it to GFC, and I believe it goes to their NOMCOM, and then they're fully ratified. So hopefully if it passes today, I can bring that up at NOMCOM tomorrow for GFC, and we'll have one more lovely member to the GFC Student Caucus.
Thank you, Vice President Draper. We'll hear from Policy Committee here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So policy committee met last week on Tuesday. Our discussion was centered around two topics. Number one, developing a strategic plan or a work plan for what we hope to get done during the course of the year. Essentially, our goal is for the first trimester by the end of August to have all of our policy renewals done that are going to be coming up to expire in April of 2021, as well as Vice President Kidd also brought up that there are going to be policies next year, quite a few. I think it's 9 policies that have to get renewed. So as soon as we renew the 4 policies that need to get done right away, academic materials, deferred maintenance, health and wellness, and student financial assistance, we're going to be working to help ease the burden on the policy committee for next year and work on some of those as well. And we've developed 4 working groups currently right now who are working on those 4 policies that I mentioned. That's all.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Montero. Student Groups Committee.
Student Group Committee has not met because we do not have quorum without our students at large. So once we get those, we'll get started.
Excellent. Thank you for the update, Vice President Kidd. We are moving on to the Undergraduate Board of Governors rep, Conrad.
Hello. Good to see you all. It's good to reconnect in these times of separation. It's been good. I'm getting more comfortable with the board. I'm learning so much. A lot of professional development in this space as I, sit among these executives, these experienced people, and hear about how they do these different things, and absolutely express my views and the students' views too. In terms of ACFA, went to that meeting. Right, we understand some of those issues. There's a website if you don't know what's going on there. Some solutions at that town hall meeting were talking to the provincial government, as VP Lay mentioned, engaging Anglophone parents and proposing a new model of academic structure for CSJ, which would make them more independent from North Campus. So that'll be something interesting to look at. My part in my field, I can ask board committee chairs about Yulberg's stance on CSJ issues, and then talk to our Reputation Public Affairs Committee about whether or not they're willing to make a stance, take a stance on what's happening there. I'm calling it out as incorrect. And if they're not, looking at, how can we advocate for that? How can we make compromises? How can we get action there? Some current projects I'm working on, FA Communications, still in conversation with VP Draper, where still now we're considering more, are COFA senior board meetings the right place for the BOG rep to consult with FAs? So more to come on that. Social media, moving away from UASU's marketing team, I'm now talking with board secretary and assistant to discuss different pathways there with VRPAC. And then lastly, with VP Kidd, we've been talking about working with WOW to implement governance materials. So that's all undergoing. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Board of Governors Representative Conrad. So with this, that will conclude our board and committee reports. But just before we move on, I'll ask if there's any member of council that would like to submit a report. And if they'd like to do so, we'll give about 10 seconds here to put their names in the chat. All right, seeing none, we will move into open forum. And just as a reminder, open forum is used as an opportunity for any guests of council to ask questions or to make a statement. They get 30 seconds to ask questions, 2 minutes to make a statement, and a combined 3 speaking turns. So I will open the floor and the speakers list to any questions. Okay, thank you for throwing that into the chat there, Pia. So having the only registered guest or council not have any questions, I'll take it as appropriate to move to just question period. So again, as a reminder to all members of council, question period is used as a time for any councillors to ask questions or make statements. So you get 30 seconds to ask a question, 2 minutes to make a statement for a combined 3 speaking turns, and then you have 2 minutes to respond. So with that, I see our speakers list is already starting to compile, and I'll give the floor to Councillor Dixon.
Hello, everyone. I'd just like to echo what's been said so many times. Thank you, David, for that statement. It really warmed my heart, as well as always very impactful. I don't have much time, so I'm just going to talk to VP. I'm going to talk to Alana. That's who I'm going to ask this question to. Alana, I was just wondering, with the fares returning for the buses and transit, I was wondering if the U-Pass will be charged to students in the fall, or like if you're still kind of sorting that out, because I didn't see anything about that in your report, because it seems kind of unfair with the vast majority of students, you know, not going to be on campus, having to pay for the U-Pass, even if people are going to be on campus, them having to pay for the U-Pass, because I know that many people probably still won't be comfortable using public transit. So I was just wondering if you kind of knew what that was going to look like within kind of COVID, as well as I was wondering, and you don't necessarily need to answer this one as much, but kind of about how working with the other universities has gone and how your advocacy is going in general surrounding public transit. Thanks.
All right, Vice President Cron, go ahead.
Sorry. Jumping the gun. Thank you so much, Councillor Dixon, Talia, for your question. Sorry I didn't put that into the report. It's been a day and I'm a little bit frazzled, so thank you for giving me this opportunity. So in terms of the fall, the answer, I guess, bluntly is it's not fair. None of it is fair, no matter what we pick, but we are pushing for the fairest option so that so that students who need transit will be able to access it affordably, and students who don't need transit or who are living back home in a different city or something like that will not be bound to the U-Pass. That is ultimately what we are going to be pushing for, because of course we want transit to be affordable and we want to save students money at this time when financial burdens are very, very real. Something that I see as a solution to that, which I will be pushing for with the city, is to get an opt-in U-Pass for the fall. But of course, you know, as you know, there are the two sides to that, which I believe that covers in terms of students, you know, who need the U-Pass and students who really don't want to be paying for the U-Pass. So we're going to see about our options with that. It's going to be difficult to push with the city right now because they're estimated losing about $56 million because of COVID in terms of all of this transit in the transit mix up. So that's really too bad for them, but I don't want students bearing that cost. Absolutely going to push for that. So, and then in answer to your second question, I guess I will say that it's been going really well working with the other student associations. They are really on board, I think, to really push for affordability, of course, and to really, work together collaboratively so that we can get the best deal for all of the students that we represent as possible. I don't know how much time I have left, but I would like to quickly say, as an update for the summer U-Pass, we pushed for the winter U-Pass to be accepted for the June 15th to 30th period, and I am very happy to say that that has been accepted. So at least until the end of June, students are covered under their winter U-Passes. That's really great. We are going to be pushing for July and August to be, we're going to push for more affordable transit than I think the city is wanting to offer at this time. They would like us to be, you know, charging, using either youth passes or adult passes. However, I think that that's a bad deal for students, and I want to push very hard with that. But so as you can see, there are lots of things we're pushing for.
Thank you, Vice President Cron. I thought I'd give you an extra 5 seconds there, but we were close. Okay, President Agarwal, go ahead with your question there.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So my question is for Chair of Policy, Councillor Montero. Just curious, you talked about some of the renewing the policies that are going to be renewed this year. Do you have any thoughts for any new policies, or have you had any conversations at the preliminary meetings already around that? I'm just curious about that. Thank you.
Thank you, President Agarwal. At our last meeting on Tuesday, we did discuss a plan for a policy renewal. So that's a meeting that we're going to get done, as well as what interest the committee had in developing new policy as well. I do have a running list of policy that is of interest to the committee. A couple of them, one second here, let's pull them up. There was interest around mental health policy, distance learning policy, climate action policy, and freedom of expression policy. So those are all policies that we will be talking about as a committee and looking into. But as of right now, we as a committee have decided that immediately we want to get all of the policy renewals done first before we focus any of our attention on developing new policy. As well as we will be discussing what VP Lay had mentioned on the campus policing policy at the next meeting as a discussion item.
Thanks.
So thank you, Councillor Montero. Councillor Brandwein, go ahead.
Hi. So this question is for Vice President Draper. First of all, thank you for opening today's meeting with a thoughtful and uplifting statement about Pride Month. So in your executive report, you mentioned how the university is planning to undergo thorough academic restructuring, in which the university is working to quote unquote drastically increase enrollment while reducing administrative staff. So I've been speaking to quite a few students about this, and I think there's a similar theme going around, which is how will campus, North Campus in particular, physically and spatially support this massive shift in enrollment? And also, how will the university accommodate such a massive increase without sufficient administrative staffing? And I'm not sure if you can answer this question entirely or these two questions entirely, but try your best.
Thank you so much for the question. So first and foremost, I'm along for the ride. I'm hoping to find out too. There was a town hall provided, but I'm still looking for more. I believe President Eggerol might have some more information than I do on this, the Academic Restructuring Committee, so I'll defer my time to him because he might be able to give you a better answer.
Yeah, I can take the rest of that question. Thank you for the question, Councillor Brandwein. I think it's very early on in the stages of consultation and figuring out what this is actually going to look like. Right now, we on the working group, we're looking at a bunch of models of changes like this that have been done at other universities. One of the examples is at Monash University, where there were similar changes where there were academic restructuring, merging of various faculties, and moving towards streamlining the services that are provided. And it seems like what actually happened from there was the ranking of that university increased in the subsequent years. That being said, I think as the one of two student representatives on this committee, I'm very cognizant of the student issues that are going to be at the forefront, whether it's academic advising, whether it's the ratio of students to academic advising, whether it's the ratio of students to frontline services. That's something we're bringing up very, very much to these committees. In terms of enrollment, I don't know how that's going to look like. I think one of the things that is important to know that is that the U of A has, in terms of space, for example, we have a lot more space than enrollment compared to like University of Toronto, for example. But these are valid questions, and we're bringing them up for sure. So I can get back and I'm going to keep council very updated on sort of the progress of what's going to be happening over the next the course of the next couple months.
Excellent, thank you, President Agarwal and Vice President Draper. Councillor Bose, you've got the floor here.
Yeah, so this question is for President Agarwal. So with all the academic restructuring conversation going on, I was just wondering, what will happen to the structure of council and our entire governance structure? For example, some of the faculty associations might not be a faculty association after this whole change. So I was just wondering, how will everything work? And do you have any plans of, taking these things into consideration so that we can act as soon as these changes have been made by the university? Thanks.
President Agarwal, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you for the question, Councillor Bose. I think it's an important question that, we as council are going to have to address this year. General Faculties Council has a structure. Council has a structure. The Council Faculty Association has a structure that very much mirrors the university's structure, which is very unique to a lot of students' unions in the province and in the country, which is really good. One of the things that I'm planning to bring forward, hopefully in the next couple couple weeks, and a month or so, is putting together a task force to really address these issues, because council will need to be changing, you know, just based on the changes that are happening administratively and academically, but also based on some of the, there was a report on sort of the structure of council that was done in, I think, 2016, and really looking at how we can implement that to better streamline council as the board of directors of a, you know, $20 million organization. You know, what is the purpose of council? So that's a great question, Councillor Bose. I think, you know, keep your eyes peeled. There's probably going to be something coming up in the next little while.
Thank you.
So thank you, President Agarwal. Councillor Buchanan, you've got the floor here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question's to Vice President Cron, and I am referring to your report. You mentioned you've been put on an e-scooters committee and that the committee has decided it's feasible to allow them on campus. I was just wondering if you could provide further clarification and whatever is easiest way to describe either the restrictions on campus geographically or what areas or vice versa, whatever's easiest to describe. And I haven't had a chance to use a scooter yet, so they may already be allowed on campus, and if not, when will they be allowed to start?
Vice President Cron, go ahead.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Buchanan, for the question. Yes, I think that this is a pretty exciting thing that we're looking at. I think it'll have certainly an impact on, I think, that maybe the flavor of campus, at least, you know, physically and transportationally speaking. So that'll be interesting. What I can say in terms of the, and I will clarify, I think I've attended one, maybe two committee meetings on this. And a lot of what I have to say to you just comes from, you know, reports that have been provided to me. But what I can say about the restrictions around it is essentially safety is being made absolutely the first priority. There will be two hubs, sort of a thing, for parking, both of which will be at the west side of campus, sort of near the Students' Union building and near Van Vliet complex. And essentially what is going to happen is that the scooters will only be allowed to go, like, to move at a speed of about, like, of, you know, like the normal speed that they tend to go, along the thoroughfares of, I believe, 87th Avenue, as well as coming up 116th Street. So there are different ways to access it. But to my knowledge, the scooters will, like, because they have geofencing on them, and so they will stall and not be able to go at, like, more than 5 kilometers an hour or something within the bus loop, along certain paths, the paths within campus, and things like that. So essentially, and I have a map, if you're very interested, I can dig that up and send it to you. But yeah, essentially it's going to be quite safe, and looking for ease of access, I think, more into campus, like from residences and stuff like that, as opposed to access within campus, say from hub to sub or something like that. Your other question was, when is this starting? I believe that they're looking to pilot it essentially as soon as possible. They want to make sure, the committee is looking to ensure that signage is going to go up, you know, that all of the general safety precautions and, you know, and all of that can get agreed upon, but really it is looking quite ready to go. So I would expect to see them honestly fairly soon if you are hanging around campus. Yeah, definitely they'll be up and running by September for sure. Just in time to get put away for winter, I'm sure. But anywho, should be fun, and I hope that you get a chance to participate.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. I'm just going to call on council to see if we can get 5 thumbs up reactions to extend by 15 minutes as we're approaching the 1 minute mark to the closure of our question period. Excellent. Thank you. So we are good to extend until 6:58. Okay, perfect. So Councillor Yaboot, you've got the floor here for 30 seconds.
Hi, my question is for Vice President Kidd. So basically, I'm concerned about the university's plan for providing mental health supports. As at GFC, they didn't really seem to have a strategy to support first-year students or any students for that matter. So I was wondering what the exec is going to do to advocate to the university about this issue. perhaps what they will be doing to create a comprehensive plan to mitigate this issue. So that's it.
Thank you, Councillor Yabut. Vice President Kidd, go ahead.
All right, thank you for the question, and that's an excellent question, and it's one that I was concerned about as well. So there's, I think, a few different things to think about. The first is the planning for this is just kind of starting because we're just getting to the point where the planning for COVID response is sorted and handled, and now we can move on to planning for the fall. Residents does have a plan to connect first years and to work to address mental health through an online residency. I don't fully have a lot of details about that because they're just slowly planning it for September, as well as we will be doing longer term week of welcome program, including a mental wellness course called the Alberta 101. And we'll be making sure that students feel connected. And the Peer Support Center will be moving online in the fall. As far as advocacy to the university, I have monthly meetings with someone from the Dean of Students office, and I will make sure that the next few months I'm advocating for these students so they don't feel that they are left behind because they might not physically be in class or physically be in Edmonton. If you have any follow-up questions, let me know.
And thank you, Vice President Kidd. Councillor Badesha, the floor is yours.
I just had a question for President Agarwal. So last council, we discussed advocating for a change in tuition for the fall term to the university. I was just wondering if any progress has been made on that and what that looks like right now.
President Agarwal, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Councillor Badesha. Yes, that was discussed at our last meeting, and we have we've been discussing it with the executive team as well as the university, trying to figure out how we're going to approach this, as well as what the university can tangibly do to help students on campus. So we are actually releasing a statement later this week. We have it pretty much ready, but decided to hold off just regarding the blackout that's happening today. But we do have a statement that's ready, and I've been in meetings with university admin, really pushing that messaging that, you know, students really want to be heard, and university students need to be having, like accommodations, whether it's tuition, whether it's, certain MNIF fees for the fall. So we're definitely taking that seriously on the front and working our best to ensure that progress is commencing on that. Thanks for the question.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. Councillor Bid, go ahead.
Brad mentioned that until the end of June, students will be able to use their UPass to access the transit. However, from July, we need to do something. I sent a screenshot on the WhatsApp group, and on the city government of Edmonton, it states that from July 1st to 31st, April transit passes will be accepted. So my question to VP Cran is, does the UPass allow students to access transit in the month of July as well? Because UPass ends in April.
Vice President Cran, go ahead.
Hi, Councillor Bid. Thank you for your question. Sorry, I am trying to refer to the photo that you have sent. Can I have a moment to just to read this and make sure I'm understanding your question? So, sorry, you're wondering what is going to be happening for bus passes in July and August. Is that correct? I'm sorry, this is not very clear.
Councillor Bid, do you want to clarify?
Right. So for July, photo that I sent, it states that from July 1st to 31st, April or July monthly transit passes will be accepted. So I was wondering if the UPass is included as part of that.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I understand. Thank you. Sorry, I just got all confused with that. Because there are a lot of different dates we're dealing with, and so I'm like, ooh, when are they accepted? No. So July, yes. So they say July 1st to 31st. So when they say cash, tickets, valid transfers, and family/day passes, that does not include U passes. So what we know from the city is that they have agreed to extend the validity or eligibility of the the validity of the U-Pass from that June 15th to 30th period. So basically fares will be free from June 1st to June 15th. And then if you have a valid winter U-Pass sticker on your one card, fares will continue to be covered for you from June 15th to 30th. But for the rest of the summer, because the summer U-Pass was suspended. So it is an ongoing conversation as to what the city is expecting, and they are waiting to hear based on what the university is doing with the rest of their fees. So essentially, and to answer your question, I believe the city is going to be saying that for the summer, we need to be students, even with, if you have a valid winter U-Pass, you are expected to be purchasing monthly youth passes. However, we will be advocating for some kind of another discount for students for affordable transit for July and August. But when they say that list, monthly passes does not mean U pass. I hope that answers your question. Let me know.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kron. And just to remind all members of council for the response times, I know that some answers are complex, but we do have 2 minutes to answer the questions. But with that, we'll go to Councillor Dixon.
Hey, okay, so my question is just for Rowan, or VP Lay. I was wondering if we could get more detail on CASA's priorities, particularly recession response, because you mentioned it, and I should know if like lots of work had been done around that, and I thought that it was interesting and maybe something that we could learn a little bit more about, because I know it's top of most people's minds. Thanks.
Vice President Lay, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the question, Talia. So that is one of our four cause priorities for the year. And essentially, there's a few different facets of recession response. It's framed this way, including a variety of different things, because we think that the angle of talking about things as being a consequence of the recession and responding to the recession gives us a much better position to advocate to government. So I assume you're referring to cause, because the CASA priorities are not. Actually, can I ask Councillor Dixon just a question just to clarify if that works, Mr. Speaker? Jared?
Excellent. Thank you. Sorry, here, 1 second. I just had a quick thing pop up on my screen that closed the Zoom app. But okay, are we on to Councillor Bid here?
Sorry, Jared, I think you missed an important little bit of audio there.
Yeah, sorry, this completely cut out on my end for a moment.
Okay, yeah, sorry, I just had a problem where I couldn't hear something that Councillor Dixon said in her question, and I was just hoping I could get her to clarify one thing she said, if that's all right with you, Jared?
No problem.
Yeah, I was just asking about, like, in your report, how you mentioned the priorities, and I was specifically interested in the priority where they were talking about recession response, because I just didn't know what that meant.
Oh, great. From cause. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The only confusion was I just wasn't sure if you said cause or CASA, because my sound cut out for a moment there. I apologize. So I'll just quickly answer this one. So it includes student employment as the largest issue, but also student financial aid and support for universities, financial support for universities. So we want to make sure universities have access to bridge funding to prevent them from experiencing severe financial problems and having to make permanent layoffs in order to get through this single upcoming year, which in good news, we have had a significant delay in the implementation of performance-based funding metrics, but we do still need some more help from the government to deal with the reduction in enrollment. So the student employment part is less short term, because within this summer, the federal government has stepped up with the Canada Summer Jobs Program. However, we do need to make sure that there is more support from the provincial government for student employment in the next 2 years or so, because we know that especially in Alberta, this recession is not going to go away quickly, and that we are going to need extra support for student employment for some time to come. And if we're lucky, that support can become permanent. And also, of course, we are trying to explain why there's a greater need for student bursaries and student financial aid than ever before, and bringing that case to the provincial government in the new context that we're in with a new sense of urgency. So those are the three main pillars of it, but I will be happy to share the completed cause priorities document with you sometime late this week or early next week when it's complete.
And thank you, VP Lay. Councillor Bid, go ahead.
This is once again to VP Kran. It's regarding UPass. I thank you for advocating to make the UPass optional during COVID. However, I was wondering, although it's not pressing, is it possible for the UPass to be optional post-COVID as well? Since there are most students do use UPass, but there are certain students who do not use UPass, and for the fee to be mandatory for them, I feel it's a bit unfair. So although it's not pressing, can it be pushed for together with the advocacy you're doing right now? Thank you.
Vice President Crown, go ahead.
Thank you for the question, Councillor Bid. So of course, yeah, we are always looking to advocate for the very best value for students within this. Something that I think I will say is that the UPass is based on, and it only works because of the idea of socializing costs. So, you know, it's like insurance. And where basically everybody pays so that those who need it can benefit. This has been something that students have generally, they voted it in every time. It tends to receive very good turnout in terms of in terms of voting in favor during referenda. And so, yeah, I think that generally the most value is created for the most students by having the UPass be the price that it is. For example, a youth pass costs, which applies to students 24 and under years of age, that costs $75 a month. Whereas the UPass, since it is able to be a socialized fee, only ends up costing $45 a month as sort of a comparable thing. And of course, an adult pass is worth quite a bit more to students who are over the age of 24. Of course, students can always decide how they would prefer the UPass to go by using their voice in a referendum, and it is going to referendum this March. But I will say, I don't see transit will become a lot less affordable for the students who need it. If we were to do an opt-in UPass system. And I don't see the city going for that model unless it would cost a whole lot more. And so I think that in considering the collective greater good, that would be something I would be hesitant to advocate for. However, students ultimately use their voice when they vote. So I encourage you to tell your friends to vote in March at the referendum. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Kran. So just as a note here, we do have 2 minutes left before I have to extend again. I see one name left on the speakers list. So Councillor Hari-Haran, I'll give you the floor in just a second. But if there's no more speakers on the list by the time you're done answering your question, then we'll just close the speakers list from there and move on to board and committee business.
So my question is also related to UPass. Because many of the international students and out-of-province students who could not go back to their place are stranded here, and many of us are not taking a summer course, but are working during the summer or something, who would need UPass for transportation, can they apply for UPass even though they're not registered for any summer course?
Vice President Crown.
So the short answer is no. The UPass fee is assessed for students who are taking courses that meet certain requirements, that being that the courses are not online or are a work experience course that takes place within the City of Edmonton or the other transit authorities that are part of the UPass agreement. So essentially, that would not be possible. However, if we are looking for the fall at a possible opt-in. And I don't know what we're going to be able to come up with in terms of the summer for accessible transit options. But in whatever we push for, we want to make sure that the students who need it, whether to get to campus or to get to work, that they will be able to have affordable transit. So short answer, no. Long answer, we're pushing for affordability. So that's the goal. I hope that answers your question.
All right. Thank you, Vice President Kron. So this looks like it will conclude our My apologies, I slept on mute there. This looks like it'll conclude our question period. So we'll go ahead and move into board and committee business. So for this one here, the first motion that we special ordered from the late editions from Vice President Kron moves on behalf of the Bylaw Committee to approve Bill 1, the first principles of amendments to Bylaw 100. And before I let VP Kron introduce this motion, I'll just call for a secondary into the chat, please. Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Veloso. So, Vice President Kron, you have a minute here to introduce.
Thank you very much. You're hearing a lot from me tonight, folks, and thank you so much. So, this is a motion made on behalf of Bylaw Committee, which I am very excited to bring forward, and that is an amendment to Bylaw 100, of course, which is the bylaw that contains the standing orders, the mandates, membership, and a few other item and quorum items from standing orders of a committee of all of the standing committees, I believe all of the standing committees of council. And so essentially I am looking to, on behalf of Bylaw Committee, to incorporate these aspects of the standing orders of the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee into Bylaw 100, as you can see attached. I encourage you to vote in favor of this if you like the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee standing orders. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Kron. So we'll move into debate on this motion. And looking at the speakers list, we have Councillor Bowes queued up and ready to go.
Yeah, so I just have one motion to amend, actually two amendments. So for 12 standing committee membership, 12D, there should be a space between nominating and committee. And for 12E, there should again be a space between from and campus St. John. So yeah, these are my two motions. But other than that, to me, everything looks good.
Excellent. So seeing as how they're grammatical pieces, Vice President Kron, can we take those as friendly?
Absolutely. I accept those as friendly. Thank you, Councillor Bowes.
The point of information, is this a first or second reading?
It's a first reading. So actually, just to clarify that, now that we're into the more first readings pieces here for council, when we look at first readings of bylaws, we're looking for effectively like the principle of the bylaw, what it's aiming to achieve. And the amendments technically only really need first readings. So since they are amendments here, it would be like a finalized piece of the first, like it won't go to second principles for this specific motion. But I see President Agarwal on the speakers list here.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Actually, Councillor Bose took my feedback as well. Other than those two grammatical or changes, I think this is very good, and I will be voting in favor of it.
Excellent. So this will exhaust our speakers list on this particular motion. Was there anybody else that would like to speak to this? Councillor Buchanan, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have one general question that to this point, but it would be a question to the bylaw in the council as a whole. Before a second, more specific one. One, in the standing orders, there are certain sections on relating to the formation that are duplicated in the standing orders for the committees versus the bylaws as a whole. And for philosophy, for lack of a better term, moving forward, would it be best to have it in one location and make reference to the other to prevent conflicting bylaws? And then the more specific issue I had here under section 17.11a(2). I am wondering what the, on the definition for that one, is it on the approved? And this relation is also in a question in regard to previous, something we'll discuss later that's being brought forward council. And it's not 100% clear to me which body makes the approval of the funds. And that specifically as regards to my second question is also a specific one is 11c(4). It says review and refer major sustainability and capital fund projects. And so that seems to me anyway, in first reading here, it's not clear one, well, what's major? And then by, if there's a major, then there's a minor. Is there meaning behind that word? And then also in expanding upon that to my first point under the sub two there is, which body actually has the final approval? Is the philosophy behind this committee having the sustainability committee recommend projects to council? Or is the idea that council is just being made aware of what is being approved?
So, Councillor Buchanan, thank you for the statement here. I noticed that there's a complexities and a variety of questions here. And coming from, like, I guess my prerogative as speaker here, I don't know if this is the best environment to be asking this, like, just based on, like, one, we do have one question per speaking turn, just as a piece here, but your questions are very valid and good, especially the ones on the Sustainability and Capital Fund. And I would recommend that you attend a bylaw committee meeting and post questions in the committee environment where the, I guess, characteristics of governance and rules of play that we have to follow by are more relaxed. And so for that, I will just recommend that you address these questions with bylaw committee specifically or follow up with a member of bylaw committee. But yeah, so for that point there, and then moving on to Councillor Bid's point here about the point of parliamentary inquiry between the difference of a first reading and a second reading, other than the number of times it is read. Effectively, like as per our standing orders for bylaws and policies, the first readings on bylaws, so on a typical bylaw, so this one here is an amendment, so it's different, but in a typical scenario for a first reading of a bylaw or a policy, a motion is placed on the order paper and then the debate should be through like principles and objectives that are listed in the first motion. Whereas specific wording of the legislation is not permitted to be like debated upon in first meeting or in the first reading. Debates limited specifically to general principles and objectives. The second reading of a bylaw is where the entire bylaw will be presented or the entire policy will be presented. Additions and deletions will be shown. And then debate is limited to the technical merits of whether the bylaw committee or policy committee properly interpreted the principles passed in the first reading. So I hope that that goes to sort of explain first and second readings more. If anybody has a question, like I'll feel free to answer that. But I don't see any more people on the speakers list for this specific motion.
That point of information then or clarification, that goes back to my first question on whether this is technically a first or second reading. If we were making a final vote on this, then it would seem to me that this is actually a second reading. And since it came directly from the bylaw committee, there was no first hearing. Is that the understanding?
So Councillor Buchanan, you're right. Technically, like we do call them first principles of amendments in a student's council environment. So any sort of amendment that gets brought forward is always like the first principles, I guess, of the amendment. But amendments do not have to go to second principles merely for the fact that they are amendments. So while it is called like a first principles of the amendment to bylaw 100 on paper, it can just like in any other governance setting, it can easily be flipped to call it a second principles because it is the final ratification. But I hope that clarifies things. Okay, with that, I will post the link here. Councillor Buchanan, if you'd like to speak again.
So I would like to say, is there any clarification on my questions? And if not, I would like to make a motion to send this back to committee for further consideration.
I did say, Councillor Buchanan, you can have one question per speaking turn, up to three speaking turns per motion. But questions do have to be asked one question per time. And I did recommend that you bring this to bylaw committee for a more fulsome understanding. But if you'd like to motion from the floor to table this, bring it back to bylaw committee, you're in full prerogative to do that. And then we can debate that as a council and go through it that way. Councillor Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So to the Vice President Croner, the Bylaw Committee, what is the definition of approved under 17 sub 11 sub A sub 2?
Vice President Croner, I'll give you a moment to pull that up if you'd like to address that.
Mr. Speaker. Councillor Buchanan, sorry, can I just get that from you? Sorry, I have a million tabs open right now on my computer. I would just like you to please repeat the section. Section 17.
Sub 11.
Yep.
Sub A, sub 2. And the wording there is provide up to $10,000 of funding for each approved student sustainability project that will continue to positively impact the campus community. Is approved by the committee, or is the intention the approval by council as a whole?
Yeah, and if I could have a moment, sorry.
Absolutely, Vice President Crown.
Thank you very much. Okay, my apologies. I'm looking in the original standing orders. I would just also like to say that these standing orders were sent out as an information item 2 weeks ago, and questions were encouraged and indeed would have been much welcomed to me personally. And I would thank you for that. Essentially what I am seeing here is that so the projects that are being referred to in terms of the up to $10,000 are the Student Green Fund projects as outlined in the campaign documents that were, and as well as a referendum question that was posed to students, which they voted on in March. And essentially the process for these is that the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee will adjudicate these projects, and then they will recommend to Students Council the projects that they have adjudicated. So if they receive five project proposals, let's say that two of them meet the eligibility criteria, those two will be recommended to Students Council. Council will then do what is called ratifying them. And so Council will ratify them, and ultimately then the funds can be dispersed. It's very important to us that students, and by us I mean those folks that have been working on the Sustainability and Capital Fund as well as the committee, that it ultimately be students via Students Council that have a say in how students can positively impact campus in terms of its sustainability. And so ultimately, yes, Council is involved in this process. I hope that answers your question.
Excellent. Councillor Bowes, go ahead.
Yeah, a question just came up in my mind. So is this fund based on how many, is this fund based on per project or like per student group? So let's say in the future on behalf of ESS, if I decide to bring in five projects which fulfills the criteria and all, and I mean, is there a chance that I can receive up to 50,000, or is it just one student group? Like, how is it that gonna work? Is it per project, or is there a limitation for student groups as well?
So as you can see in the standing orders, the funding amount refers to projects and not to student groups. Of course, if council has an issue with that, we can look at that, but that is what it says in the standing orders which you've been provided.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Khan. So with that, that'll exhaust our speakers list again. Okay, Councillor Buchanan, this is your last speaking turn, but go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Vice President Cron, I was wondering if you could clarify in section 17, subsection 11, section C, subsection 4, and it refers to review and refer major sustainability and so forth. Is there any meaning behind the word major, or is that any project?
Thank you for the question. So what that is referring to, so major sustainability projects, major capital projects, is referring to, it's using the, so we wanted to model the standing orders after the campaign documents and the campaign referendum question that students were asked to vote on in March. And so that was the sort of the wording, the language that was used. I can see what you're asking in terms of, are there minor projects? And what I would say is that that's very subjective. And in terms of these standing orders, major sustainability or major capital projects simply refer to those projects which are not the Student Green Fund. So projects that could be brought forth by way of also still through the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee, ratified by Students Council, but brought forward in with different, under different criteria than one would find under the Student Green Fund.
If you don't mind, Mr. Speaker, I would request from Vice President Cron, she'd be amenable to a friendly amendment to remove major, to remove that ambiguity from the language.
I'll allow Vice President Cron to decide whether it's the amendment is taken friendly or not. Up to her.
I would say that while I appreciate the linguistics and the philosophy behind what you're saying, I believe that the more important thing is that we maintain that these standing orders reflect what students voted for, because democracy, I think, is more important than linguistic philosophy. And therefore, I would say that I do not accept that. And I would prefer to keep the wording as it is, as I believe that that is more important. Thank you.
All right. So granted that that wording was not taken to be friendly, we are able to go ahead and discuss that portion of it and can technically go ahead as a council and vote as to whether or not that would want to be added in, but that's at the discretion of council, and it needs to be brought to a motion to amend that, in which then it's voted on. So I will allow for a speaker's list or somebody to bring up a motion if they would like to, but I will keep that up to your discretion. I do see Councillor Buchanan on the speaker's list again.
Unfortunately,
your speaking turns are exhausted, but Councillor Buchanan, if you were looking to simply respond to how Vice President Cron, or respond to her statement, or to pose a motion, I'll allow that. But unfortunately, the rules of governance don't allow for another statement to be made.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My intention is just to make a motion to strike the word major from section 17, sub 11, sub C, sub 4.
Excellent. Okay. And so for that, I will allow you to have a moment to just, introduce the Sorry, I want to mute here. I'll need a secondary for this one here first, so I can get a secondary onto the chat before we Councillor Bose, thank you. Okay, so for this, Councillor Buchanan, you will have a minute to introduce the ideology and purpose behind which you brought forth this motion, and then we'll have a council debate on this, and we'll go to a vote on whether or not to include or whether or not to strike the word major from that section. But with this, Councillor Buchanan, can you please write out the motion in the chat so that it's easier for our like governance team and for council to have it down for the minutes?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, and then as soon as you post that into the chat, I'll allow you a minute to introduce it, and I'll make up a voting form here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. My motion has been posted to the chat. It reads to strike major from section 17, sub 11, sub C, sub 4. And I respect and thank Vice President Cron from her comments and the need and the desire to maintain the voice of the people from the referendum. My concern is with passing this bylaw as a whole, it is respecting that referendum, but having the word major in there creates unnecessary ambiguity as to the purpose and the function of the committee. And as been previously mentioned earlier on, the purpose for the committee is that all these projects will be approved through council. And so in 4 years from now, when we are all gone and different people are reading the bylaws, or an interested student or the die board, whoever is reading the bylaw, the clear intention of council is understood by the wording that we're passing. And the wording that we are passing is important because that is what we are actually saying.
Excellent. Okay, so I've posted the link to vote, but we do have a moment here for debate. So if anybody would like to debate this, the speaker's list is open. But other than that, I will open voting in a moment here. Councillor Dixon, go ahead.
Hello, I would just like to back what Alana had mentioned earlier. This was the wording that was voted on by students, and I think that should be valued above all else. Again, I love grammatical things. I'm not the best with it, but I think that's kind of our absolute duty, because students aren't going to care about a single, you know, grammatical change necessarily, unless it goes against what they voted on. And I think that is extremely important. I also very much love all of the work that has been done on this by VP Cron, and I'm very much supportive of it as it stands. Thanks.
Excellent. Councillor Badesha?
I just want to speak in favor of what Councillor Dixon and VP Cron have said. It is the language that was voted on, so very simply, it's the language we can turn to when we're writing these bylaws. That's really all I have to say.
Excellent. Vice President Kidd?
So first of all, I am in support of what Councillor Badesha, Councillor Dixon, and VP Cron said. I think the problem becomes, if we define major, how could we define it? Because are we talking about major financial decisions, or are we talking about something that would have a major impact on students? And then if we're trying to define between one of those or other possibilities that I haven't thought of in the past 10 minutes, then does that mean major, the other version doesn't have to come? So if we say it's major financial, then things that will have a large impact on students but don't cost that much don't need council approval.
I think we need to have faith.
Vice President Kidd, I think your audio is cutting out here.
Yeah, my internet sucks. I don't know. Did everyone hear me? Should I type it out?
I think we missed about the last 10, 12 seconds.
Okay. I'm going to yell into my laptop. Is that better?
Sure.
Is nice it forehead. Better? Shut up. Sorry. We need to have faith in the governance and faith in the counselors to interpret what students have voted on. Because at the end of the day, that is why we have this committee, is to represent the motion that was brought forward by students. We should not define major, because what's going to happen is we're going to get into problems where a project could be considered major, but then because of the strictness of the definition, it doesn't get brought to council and it could be cause more problems that way. So I think leaving it slightly ambiguous is for the best. I hope you heard that.
Okay, looking at the speakers list here, we have Councillor Marquis.
Yeah, thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, first of all, I agree 100% with everything that everybody else said before. And second, I would just like for VP Crown to correct me if I'm wrong, but for the talks that we had in the bylaw committee, was that things like this, especially with the wording, we will leave it for the committee to decide for what it would be like for things like this, especially with things like the funding and if.
All right. I think Councillor Munter, or sorry, Councillor Marquis, were you finished speaking there? It slightly cut out on my side. I didn't want to interrupt you if you weren't done. Okay, hear nothing. Councillor Buchanan, you're on the speaking list as well.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to respond to a couple of comments by my fellow councillors. One, by removing major, we are not defining major. That is what the motion is to not define it, to take it out, to remove the ambiguity, and to respect the intention of what the bylaw committee has said, that all projects are going to be recommended to council and then approved by council. And so by removing major, it respects that intention that council will have the final say on all projects and does not give the ambiguity for council, either the committee of this year or in the future, to approve minor projects without council's final approval. That is the intention of the motion to remove major from this piece of legislation.
Councillor Ackerman, go ahead.
Sorry, I wanted to say that exactly what Councillor Buchanan just said is why I would support the motion to strike major, because you could deem something minor and then you don't need to approve it by council, basically, is the way I interpret the bylaw, and I don't think that's the intent, and I forgive me, but I'd be more trusting of the council as a whole giving the final approval for any project than the alternative. So that's why I would support the striking of major.
All right, Councillor Bowes.
Yeah, I would just like to second everything Councillor Buchanan and Councillor Ackerman said. I don't think I need to waste any more time, and I will also be supporting this motion. Thanks.
Okay, so that exhausts our speakers list. And I feel like we've heard a substantive amount of discussion on both sides of this motion here. So I will put the link to voting here just again in the chat for the proposed amendment from Councillor Buchanan and Councillor Bowes. So I'll ask you all to vote on that here now. And then once we get the, I guess, result from that vote, we'll go on and vote onto the original motion again here.
And if you don't mind my interruption, Mr. Speaker, in the voting form, there was an error on the actual motion. It's to strike major, not motion.
Yeah, you're perfectly correct there, Councillor Buchanan. Thank you. That was me flying, trying to make that Google form. I apologize. But it is updated.
No worries, as long as everyone understands.
Yes, Vice President Kidd?
I voted wrong by accident. Can we redo it?
Let me...
Sorry.
You know, I'm just going to wait until we collect the full, I guess. We're just going to wait and see if it's close. Actually, no, just send me your correction in a private message, like on Zoom here, and I'll just do it from my end.
I think you meant to inquire. Point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yes, Councillor Bid.
I wanted to ask the amendment that Councillor Buchanan made and the amendments that Councillor Bose made regarding the space between nominating committee. If we pass or fail the motion, do both the amendments pass or?
The first amendment that was made by Councillor Bose was taken as friendly. So we wouldn't have to vote on that. The second one here, was not taken as friendly, so we do have to vote on this one.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. But okay, so we do have our votes in here, and here. So we've got 9 in favor, we've got 1 abstention, and we've got 18 not in favor. So with that motion, the motion to, I guess, amend our amendment fails. And we will go back to the original wording from the Bill 1 amendments document here. So keeping the word major, I'll post that to the chat here. So keeping the word major, please go ahead and vote on the original wording from Bill 1 in the link that I just posted. Okay, so we have collected more than enough, I guess, responses here to determine the result. So with 22 votes in favor, 23 votes in favor, and 3 opposed, Bill 1, the amendments passes. So that will, I guess, conclude that one there. So with that, we are coming into 7:32. So our natural break point here. So I don't remember if I need a secondary to call for a break, but if somebody wants a second to call for a break, just to make sure, that would be greatly appreciated. And we will take attendance here just before we go. So coming into that, President Agarwal.
Here, sorry.
Excellent, thank you. Vice President Draper.
Hello, hello, hello.
Vice President Lay.
Here.
Vice President Cron?
Here.
Vice President Kidd?
Present.
Board Representative Conrad?
Hello.
Councillor Carbajal is not here today. Councillor Dixon?
Yes.
Councillor DeGrano?
Here.
Councillor Marquis?
Here.
Councillor Oliveira?
Here.
Councillor Veloso?
Here.
Councillor Yabut? Thank you. Councillor Berhani? Thank you. Councillor Saretsky? Councillor Zarefki. Okay, perfect. Councillor Ackerman.
Present.
Perfect. Councillor Batiki.
Present.
Councillor Bid.
Present.
Perfect. And thank you for that clarification piece in the chat there. Councillor Bose.
Here.
Councillor Hariharan.
Present.
Councillor Montero.
Here.
Councillor Buchanan.
Present.
Councillor Filipovich. Councillor Brandwein.
Here.
Councillor Badesha.
Here.
Councillor Berzesh.
Present.
Councillor Dillon.
Present.
Councillor Fu Tang.
Present.
Councillor Kimani.
Present.
Councillor Corday.
Present.
Excellent. I am here. And Mark, is Mark here? He wasn't here earlier. Mark's still not here. Okay. So with that, we will go for break and we will resume at 7:50 and I will see you all again then. Thank you, everyone. Alrighty, here everybody. So that is 7:50 p.m. on the dot here. So we will resume council and conclude the break here and go back to our board and committee business. So we left things off on item 7A concluding. So we go to item 7B here. Sorry, Vice President Cron moves to approve the standing orders of the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee. And with this, I'll call for a secondary before allowing them to introduce the motion. So if I could get a second. Thank you, Councillor Soretsky. Vice President Cron, the floor is yours here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And thank you, Tyler, for the second. Need I say more about the Sustainability and Capital Fund and the committee that is here to adjudicate the projects that come through both the major sustainability and capital projects as well as the Student Green Fund projects. As you can see, we have approved the amendments to Bylaw 100. Thank you so much. And yeah, I look forward to these standing orders being approved and ultimately leading us to being able to populate this committee and get going on the work of making the University of Alberta Students Union more sustainable. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. From here, I will open the floor to any sort of debate or discussion on the item. So inviting any members of council to join the speakers list. Councillor Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to make a motion and I'm working off of two computers here. I'll describe it and it will be in the chat in a second. It is, for instance, there's two sections of the proposed orders that I'd like to amend. First one is in section 9, sub 2, sub B, I believe. Yep, sub B. And it would amend it to say projects can be recommended at the FCFC and then take out level. So approved and level would be taken out and it would be changed to projects can be recommended at the FCFC level. And then the second one would be to amend section 10 sub 1. It would be amended to read the standing orders of the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee may be amended by a simple majority of the student council with such changes being reported to student council. And that will be in the chat in a second here. Apologies for the delay. And after you get a second, I will explain.
All right, so Councillor Buchanan, while you pull up, I just saw the wording here. Thank you for including the wording. Just as a note here, though, Councillor Buchanan and to all members of council, Vice President Cron and the executive committee submitted this as an information item a couple of weeks ago here, before the last meeting of Students Council, and asked for opportunities for input. So looking to how we try to conduct business in council and try to work things in a more efficient manner and try not to dwell down all of the specific motions, the opportunities for councillors to ask questions in those types of environments when they come as information items before they come as motions, and especially in the weeks preceding those where you could have had the opportunity to ask questions at bylaw committee, these are the more appropriate manners for these types of things. So while you have every right to bring this up here, just in future to all members of council, these are the more, appropriate manners of which you can go forth about discussing and debating on motions that are coming to council before we get to the environment and have to spend time on continuous amendments. But I see you had a point of information as well.
Yes, I would. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to clarify only one of both the previous motion we passed and including this one, was made available 2 weeks ago. Also, that is the reason why in the bylaws we have first and second reading. So after the principles are relayed to council, then there's an opportunity to discuss this at committee level. And as I remember, this is the first time at student council as a whole we've had to look at these.
I appreciate your comments, and I we have had the opportunity to see them as an information item and had the opportunity to ask questions through question period at the last council's meeting, as well as through question period at this council's meeting, as well as through any moment of the question period in which there could have been a statement made as well. So there are multiple opportunities to have different sort of amendments be brought forth before we have to come through and grudge it out in the council environment. So just as a recommendation, like from the speaker, like please in future, like we can best use our times at the committees to deal with all of these things so that individual council members who may have a specific change that they need to bring forth for debate can happen at a committee. And then that can be informed to council if council would like to further debate or change that. But coming from here, we will be looking for, go ahead, Vice President Lay.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I was just hoping I could ask Councillor Buchanan what the rationale is to require all changes to the standing orders of the SCF committee to be passed by Students' Council, when my understanding is that every other committee has the authority to change its own standing orders and must only notify Council of the changes. It does seem to me to be unusual and breaks with our usual practice for how committees are allowed to govern themselves. So I was hoping that Councillor Buchanan could give some explanation for why he wants to change that.
Okay, and we do, I'll allow Councillor Buchanan to respond, but we do need a second on this motion. So if I could call for a second. I am not seeing a secondary to this motion, but if any member of council would like to second this motion, or else I guess the motion would be dismissed in my understanding. Okay, so seeing that, yeah, the motion would be dismissed, seeing no secondary. So from there, we will go back to the original motion for the standing orders, and Councillor Buchanan was the first to speak to this, so I'll allow for any other or any members of council to speak to it. But Councillor Buchanan, you are now using your second speaking turn on this motion.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker. I believe this is my first speaking, as I only made a motion on the first one. That's not a speaking opportunity. Can we have that clarification?
Yeah, sure. Good point. So your first speaking turn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will not be voting for this as I have some stream reservations, especially on the second of my previous suggestions to council to change 10-1. I recognize the comments by Mr. Lay, and I can personally say I have not voted on, looked at those standing orders in detail, but I would have that strict concern on other committees as well. The practical reality is allowing a committee that will dispense up to tens of thousands of dollars to be able to change its own rules is a dangerous thing. And as has been previously discussed tonight, the intention is for council to have the final say. And so the amendments I previously had suggested and were not taken up were to reflect that, to ensure that the committee does the work to make the recommendation and council makes the final decision, and giving the committee the decision to change its own rules of operating is somewhat dangerous of a concern without that oversight from council. I think it's dangerous on other committees, possibly less so much when finances are not involved, but still there can be serious governance issues without that oversight. And just having council be notified of changes is not enough, if you ask me.
I appreciate that. Thank you for your statement, Councillor Buchanan. Vice President Cron, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just would like to say that as this would be a standing committee of Students' Council is always invited, as is very clear throughout these standing orders, to have the final say as the ultimate representation of students on our campus. The Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee has been formulated in such a way, and its standing orders have been written in such a way, as all standing committees of council, to welcome the guidance and recommendations and pushback and feedback of the elected students counselors that sit here. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Vice President Cron. Councilor Buchanan, your second speaking turn here.
I would just like to reiterate, it's nice to have that sentiment, and I think we all agree on that. I wouldn't think there'd be disagreement, but what matters is what the rules we're establishing actually are, and that's not the way they're written.
All right, thank you, Councilor Buchanan. Vice President Lay.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to provide a bit of from my perspective, why I think it's acceptable for this committee and other committees to be able to change their own standing orders. Generally speaking, extremely consequential aspects of that committee's mandate and powers will be defined in other legislation, not the standing orders. The standing orders may repeat things that are also explained in other legislation, as is the case here, for example, for like the $10,000 funding limit for Green Fund projects. So the important powers that the committee has are generally regulated elsewhere. What the standing orders do is simply usually govern the internal processes that the committee uses to operate. And the principle that we usually follow is that the people who are on the committee are best placed to understand what the most efficient way to operate their own committee is. And that in the interest of having a flexible governance process and empowering members of committees, we think that generally we want committees to be able to change their own standing orders so long as that does not considerably affect the powers that they have within the Students' Union. I hope that might answer some of Councillor Buchanan's concerns, and in case anyone else held the same concern. And obviously, if anyone has any questions about that, I'd be happy to answer.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Lay. Vice President Draper.
Thank you so much. Just to reiterate some of what VP Lay has said, it is the procedure to have committees amend their standing orders, as standing orders govern the operation of the committees. But what happens is in bylaw 100, the operations and main governing procedures for those committees are enshrined. So you have the membership, you have the mandate, you have the ways in which the committee is held. All of that's governed through bylaw, which holds precedence over standing orders. So they can't change their standing orders in order to violate bylaw, because bylaw holds precedence. So giving a committee the ability to amend its standing orders, which every committee on council has, all that does is help them ensure that the committee actually functions in a way which their mandate can be achieved. It doesn't necessarily remove oversight. It doesn't necessarily do removing or adding membership. It cannot change anything that is enshrined in bylaw, which we just enshrined a large part of this in bylaw, as you can see in the previous motion that was just passed. So if you would like to go through there, see if anything there, but that motion has passed. So anything that goes on now, if they change their standing orders, cannot violate that bylaw. So I understand where you're coming from. However, I do not feel as though it's necessarily as pressing of an issue as you believe it is, as bylaw does hold precedence in this matter, and the bylaws themselves are the final say, which we have passed as council. So changing this does nothing other than impede this committee.
Thank you, Vice President Draper. Councillor Buchanan, go ahead. Oh, also, Councillor Buchanan, this is your final speaking turn, just as a point of information for you.
Understood, Mr. Speaker. As a whole, I would like to, as Mr. Lay mentioned, that there is duplication from
standing. That is VP Lay.
VP Lay, my apologies. There is duplication from standing orders and bylaws, and that is a problem instead of directly referencing if they're the same thing. Also, specifically in this standing orders under subsection 9, sub 3, It refers to the procedure for how the matters are going to be voted on at student council, which under here 10(1) would then be given the authority of the standing committee to make changes to that policy. So it is expanding outside of the standing committee's operation to the how council looks at matters. So it's not strictly looking at the internal language of this standing order. So in those assets, it's poorly written in that way. Not clear.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Buchanan. Also, Vice President Draper, just as a note, I would appreciate if you just didn't interrupt Councillor Buchanan. But unless using the Roberts Rules of Motion or Roberts Rules of Orders points that are able to interrupt, just in future note. But going forth, President Agarwal, you do have the floor.
Sorry, I just do want to reiterate what's happening in the hierarchy of, you know, the bylaws mandate the rules that cannot be broken by standing order. So I just wanted to reiterate that and the fact that council does have authority in making these decisions.
Excellent. Okay, so that does exhaust our speakers list. So with that, Councillor Buchanan, you had a motion you wanted to bring forward?
Motion to return this to the bylaw committee.
Okay. So with that, I do need a secondary on the motion. I could call for a secondary. All right, Councillor Bose, thank you. So with this, we'll go into debate on the motion, but Councillor Buchanan, I'll ask that you please write out the motion in the chat so that all of the councillors are able to see it in writing, and then I will allow you a moment to introduce the motion with the rationale behind the decision.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Give me 1 second. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intention to return this to the bylaw committee were to be removing inconsistencies of these standing orders with bylaws. I understand the points that numerous of the executive have raised, and I recognize that the bylaws supersede standing orders. That being said, just because the bylaws supersede standing orders, we should not be passing in standing orders that conflict with bylaw and hierarchy and provide conflicts and confusion that only allow for opportunities of miscommunication between different committees and what their authorities actually are in the future. If things are meant to be committee specific in the standing orders, they should be only referring to that. If they refer to bylaws, they should be referred to bylaws. I understand in other standing orders, there is language of this as well. I'm not defending those standing orders as well. I think the bylaw committee should take a serious look at those issues as well on other standing orders. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
All right, thank you, Councillor Buchanan. Vice President Cron, just as a question to you, did this motion come from bylaw committee?
No, this motion is my own in spearheading the creation of the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee. The first motion which you heard to amend Bill 100 did come from me as a member of bylaw committee on behalf of bylaw committee. This motion is my own.
Okay, so with that, we can't send this back to bylaw committee, unfortunately. Sorry, Councillor Buchanan, I didn't catch that earlier, but unfortunately, this motion can't be made. So there's nowhere to return this motion to. It's because it came from Vice President Cron. So with that, President Agarwal, you are on the speaker's list.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to address Councillor Buchanan's concern, and I think I may have misunderstood it before, but is there, and maybe this is a point of parliamentary inquiry, is there a way that we can recommend that bylaw revisit the previous passed motion or the previous passed changes to the bylaw changes before the break and add in a section section 3C that all sustainability and capital projects must present to students council and their projects will be voted on at the following meeting. Sustainability capital projects require 2/3 majority of students council for funding to be approved. Is that something that we can do?
So to respond to this in a way, there's a couple options of what we could do. If it's like a substantive change, or a substantive addition, like an amendment, like you're saying, we would need it in full writing. And in which we would then have to be able to present the opportunity to look at this more fulsomely. So for that, I would probably recommend that we go through items D and E and return, or sorry, item C, D and E and return to this, or D and E and return to B and C, because we'd have to do B before C. Otherwise, this motion could, I guess, be tabled, or if you can create this right on the fly right now and allow council the opportunity to do that and amend it that way, then you can proceed like that too. Vice President Kidd, you had a point of order?
Can you re-explain what you just said, but like you were talking to a five-year-old? Because I'm very lost. Thank you.
Absolutely. So the amendment that President Agarwal proposed seemed a little bit lengthy and complex to me. So to allow council the opportunity to understand it, it would be nice to see it in writing. And to have it in writing, I was going to allow for the two ratifications of the appointments to be voted on, and then we would return to B and C, which were the two motions from Vice President Cron, because the second one needs to happen after the first one. And then Councillor Bid, you had a point of information.
According, as per what President Agarwal was saying, we could reconsider the motion, and it can be reconsidered by someone who voted on the winning side of the motion so that the council can reconsider debate on the motion itself again, and it requires a majority vote. Thank you.
President Agarwal?
Yeah, so just to clarify what I was saying is I think that during the next bylaw committee, I think they can look at look at it again and make some of those changes so that this, you know, this, what we're approving here, the standing orders, in my mind, don't have any problems. I'm happy voting on the current standing orders. It seems like the issue is with bylaw, and that's something that can be taken to bylaw committee for the next council meeting.
Board Representative Conrad?
Hi, thanks. Sorry, just because I posted my name before, but I wasn't sure because I think I was in order, but maybe not. This is just a point of information to VP Draper, who I believe is the chair of bylaw committee, correct? Or no, sorry, Councillor Fotang. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So Councillor Fotang, in your opinion, do you think bylaw needs to take a look at this just for council, just for dealing with this whole thing, because ultimately we could still vote on ratifying the whole thing like with and without some of the qualms that have been expressed here tonight, a majority vote will still pass this. So what do you think as the bylaw chair?
Personally, I would like to see council vote on this motion first based on the work we did in bylaw committee. I was very satisfied with it. We did have very good discussions, and some of these questions did come up, I believe, from Councillor Dixon and Councillor Marquez, and they were answered very well by Vice President Cron, and I was very satisfied with the with what came out. So I'm more than happy to see this vote first. And if council believes that, well, it needs to be taken back, then we will receive it and work on it. But I'm happy with what's been produced.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Fotang. Councillor Lee, go ahead. Sorry, Vice President Lee, go ahead.
Just so you know, y'all don't have to call me Vice President Lee, though it does flatter me. So if I understand correctly what's going on, I believe that actually Councillor Buchanan has raised a good point, and I apologize to Councillor Buchanan that I didn't realize quite that when I first made my point about bylaws superseding the standing orders. So it seems to me like the main concern that is being raised by Councillor Buchanan is that the two-thirds majority requirement for Students' Council to pass a project is only in the standing orders, but is not in the bylaw. So given that this was the first reading of the bylaw, we do still have the option to go back and change 11C4 in the Sustainability and Capital Fund section of Bylaw 100 to include the two-thirds requirement there, right? Okay, no, I've just been informed that I made a mistake because there is no second reading of amendments. But we can amend section 11C4 to include the two-thirds requirement in bylaw so that it would be in bylaw so that it could not be changed by the committee through an alteration to its standing orders, and that would make sure that that's secured. So I was just wondering if that would satisfy Councillor Buchanan, if that would address his concerns.
Vice President Cron, go ahead.
Thank you. I can see we're in a bit of a governance swamp right now, if I may call it that. So I just want to clarify that what is in Bylaw 100 are certain sections of the standing orders. So for example, it will say under section, I believe it's 17, it says these are the mandates of the standing committees of council. Those are pulled from the standing orders of those standing committees. And if there's a problem with Bylaw 100, unfortunately, under this motion, that's not something that I can deal with. That's something that we just passed before the break. So of course, Bylaw Committee can be involved in that. Happy to, of course, you know, as a member, I guess, take something to them. But what I will say is that I just want to clarify, and maybe I'm confused because again, I'm new to governance myself in some ways, but just that what we are looking at is because certain, not all of the standing orders in all of its comprehension make its way into Bylaw 100, sections do. And so given that, I believe what we're discussing is
Vice President Cron, I'm just going to step in on here really quickly because I'm starting to see conversation get a little bit out of scope to what we're starting to get to. So perhaps while the conversation regarding bylaw as it integrated to the Sustainability and Capital Fund standing orders, that was okay. But now that conversation's drifting past that, we really have to bring it back to the motion at hand here. So just to reiterate everything here, I am just going to, I mean, I won't clear the speakers list because if people have actually, if you want to stay in the speakers list, you can, but if you don't want to, that's okay. But looking back to the original motion in and of itself to approve the standing orders for the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee, I'm going to allow for a little bit more discussion to go on to this here, but it feels like we've had significant amounts of discussion regarding this whole thing. But any sort of last rounds before we go to a vote, you can call to question at any time as well. But with that, we will go to Vice President Kidd.
Never mind.
Okay, President Agarwal.
Okay, I just want to say that I don't think the issue is too complicated. I think it's pretty simple. We just have to understand that bylaw supersedes standing orders. And in this case, particular case, Section 3C was raised by Councillor Buchanan that is not mentioned in bylaw. I think the issue is with the bylaw, not with standing orders. So with that, I think we can I mean, I think just talking with the chair of bylaw and him sort of raising that as well, I think we can go back to bylaw for second reading and make that adjustment. And for now, I think if we vote in favor, vote for this, I mean, I will be voting in favor. I think otherwise the standing orders for the SCF committee is quite good. It is very, apart from that change, I think the issue is not with standing orders. So, I mean, I will be voting in favor of these standing orders. I mean, if there's nothing else, I'd like to call to question.
Right. So we do have one more council on the speaker's list here before we can call to question, I guess. So I'll allow Councillor Ackerman to speak here, and then we'll look to go to a question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I more or less agree with what President Agarwal had to say. The way I see it is you can vote for this motion and then at that point, or for these in favor of these standing orders, and then we'll send the bylaw after this basically back to bylaw to tell them to add a two-thirds majority mention of 3C essentially, so that portion's enshrined in the bylaw as well. Or we defeat these standing orders, we then go to tell bylaw to change bylaw 100 to include the two-thirds majority bit, and then we just revisit these standing orders next meeting and essentially pass them as is, but thereby essentially having dealt with the fact that there currently is the superseding, the piece that's underneath is saying something that's in kind of in contradiction with the superseding bylaw.
And thank you, Councillor Ackerman. And seeing the exhaustion of the speakers list, I'm going to post a link to come to vote here on to the committee standing orders. So I'll post that in just one moment here. Okay, the link is live and collecting responses now, so you can all go and vote on the form. All right, we're just waiting one moment here on the last of the responses to come in. Okay, perfect. So I'm going to call the vote here. We have 25 responses with 20 in favor, 3 opposed, and 2 abstentions. So this motion will pass. So with that, we'll move on to item 7C. Of our board and committee business. And so Vice President Cron moves to appoint 3 members to the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee. And with this, I'll just call for a secondary before I allow Vice President Cron to introduce the motion. But can I get a secondary? Board Representative Conrad, thank you. And with that, Vice President Cron, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Once again, we know what this committee is about. We have been very thorough in reading the standing orders. Thank you very much for approving those. I would invite you to nominate yourself or to nominate those around you to participate in this unique committee. I think it will be a wonderful experience and a wonderful way for members of the committee to showcase and celebrate sustainability on campus and to further it, to get us closer to carbon neutrality as a students' union, to reduce waste, to save the planet in the way that we can. And I encourage you to join me in making some good, tangible changes. So please go ahead with the nominations. Mr. Speaker, I have some nominations I would like to make myself, but I will also go in line with the speaking list if that is what you'd prefer.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Cron. And I would invite you to join the speakers list. You can nominate one person at a time. I would like to remind people that they can also self-nominate
But yeah, open this floor. President Agrawal, you jumped in there really quick.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Soretsky.
Councillor Soretsky.
Sorry, Speaker, point of order. I believe Councillor VP Kidd was on the list before Agrawal.
I was on the list to second.
That was my interpretation as well.
I was like, the sad face is there.
But okay, that's all good. Going to Councillor Soretsky, we'll get your response. And then just in future, I won't have to, if somebody nominates you, just I won't need to call on you just to respond for this portion of it. So that's okay.
I'll accept Joel, President Agrawal's nomination.
Excellent, thank you. And Vice President Cron.
I would like to nominate Councillor Kimani.
I will accept Vice President Cron's nomination. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kimani. Councillor Bid.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bose.
Okay, could I answer that later? Also, okay, no. Here's the thing. So if I bring forward any kind of proposal so that I can access this one, will that be considered as a conflict of interest? This is something which I'm being doubtful and I'm not sure about.
If you are a member of this committee, in my interpretation, it would be a conflict of interest in which you'd have to excuse yourself. So it's up to you. You can accept it. You can reject it. Up to your prerogative.
All right. Yeah. I respectfully decline, but thank you for the nomination, Councillor Bid.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Bose. Vice President Cron?
Thank you. I would like to nominate Councillor Veloso.
I accept. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Veloso. Vice President Kidd, you are next.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Baticki.
I accept. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Baticki. Point of inquiry to Councillor Ackerman?
Sorry, yes. So I was kind of along the lines of what Councillor Bose was asking. So if you're on this committee, if you were to sponsor a proposal coming forward, you couldn't at all, or you would just have to excuse yourself from the consideration of the particular proposal that you're sponsoring or asking for, essentially? My question.
Vice President Cron, you hopped on the speaker's list really quick there. Did you want to answer that question, or I could interpret it as well?
Sorry, go ahead, please, and interpret it, Mr. Speaker. My apologies.
That's totally okay. And correct me if I'm wrong and the particular standing orders for this committee are different, but with a typical conflict of interest, you would excuse yourself from the particular piece in which you have the conflict with, in which you could participate in the normal functionings of the committee, but anything in that is...
Mr. Speaker, you muted
yourself. Sorry, I got myself muted. So you can... function in like the normal functionings of the committee, but anything that is attached to you through blood, sex, or money would be a conflict of interest.
That would be correct in my interpretation as well, Mr. Speaker. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, so from that, Councillor Bose, you are next.
Yep, so I would like to nominate Councillor Ackerman.
Councillor Ackerman, go ahead.
Okay, I'll accept the nomination.
Perfect. Okay. Coming here, Vice President Cron, you are on the speaker's list. Do you have a nomination?
I do. I would like to nominate Councillor Marks, please.
I'll accept the nomination.
Okay, so Councillor Corday, you are next here on the speaker's list.
Hi, yeah. I would like to nominate Councillor Dixon for the SCFC.
I think I'm going to have to decline. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Dixon. This, again, exhausts our speakers list. So with that, I will just allow for a quick minute to see if anybody else will join. But seeing none, we can move into speeches here. So just as a reminder, everybody does get a 1 minute speech to indicate why they would like to join the committee. And we will start with Councillor Saretsky. So whenever you're ready, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I want to join the SCF committee because I believe that we need to hold the SU accountable to the $25 per semester that the students are going to pay. The Sustainability and Capital Fund was a key point to my platform, and I want to follow through with my promise of keeping the SU accountable. However, accountable to me is not as simple as a yes or a no. It is really understanding the nuance to all the issues that are brought to the table and then making an educated decision of where to go from there. The fund should be based on about what is good for both the university's goal to create a sustainable campus and for the students that are paying for this fund. Additionally, I want to make sure that the students know that their money is being used correctly and is going towards projects that will make a difference in the goal of creating a sustainable campus. If I am voted in, I will make sure that the money the students are giving up during these trying times is going towards projects that will make an active difference in the community. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Saretsky. Sorry, the timer went off. Perfect timing. We'll go to Councillor Kamani next here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you once again, VP Kwan, for the nomination. So I would love the opportunity to be part of this committee because I believe that sustainability on campus is important because it helps students, faculty, and all members of campus become more environmentally conscious, which is crucial when talking about issues such as climate change and global warming. And therefore, I think it's very important to think about which sustainability initiatives and projects are receiving the funding, what the specific goals of these initiatives that are receiving funding are for, and how they would overall reduce any negative environmental impacts from our campus. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kamani. We'll hear from Councillor Veloso next.
Hi, thank you, VP Kron, for the nomination. When this referendum first put forward last election, I was very ecstatic because of sustainability is one of the things I'm very passionate about. And I think if I were to be part of this committee, it would be a very good learning experience for me and to get to know about not only what are, you know, about sustainability, but learning about these different projects that students are putting forward to help campus become carbon free. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Veloso. Councillor Batiki, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you, VP Kidd, for the nomination. So I'm a huge fan of the Sustainability and Capital Fund, and I can't wait to see what kind of innovative projects students are bringing forward. My degree is environmental engineering, so this is the kind of stuff that I find really interesting, and I would love to sit on this committee and see these projects and make sure that they're going to be useful and using the money in a good way. As everyone who's nominated for this committee is gonna say, I try and live my life sustainable, and I feel that this is a really good fit for me. So thank you for your consideration.
Excellent. Thank you, Councillor Batiki. Councillor Ackerman, go ahead.
I will actually withdraw my name from the list. Thank you.
Okay, that's totally fine. Thank you. Councillor Marquise, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, VP Crown, for the nomination. Well, first of all, I believe that everybody on campus, especially the student council, should be held accountable for their carbon actions. And I believe that students should be encouraged to reduce their carbon footprint. Before bringing in this motion, I've discussed several issues with the adjudication of this committee. So I believe that it would be a good fit for it because I already have a lot of questions and I have a lot of ideas that could improve the committee and sustainability on campus in general. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Marquise. So with that, I will post a link to vote
in just a quick second here. All right, should be accessible to all of you now, but that'll be able to start collecting responses there. And you'll be able to rank the candidates accordingly. So we have to appoint three members in total. So we have five counselors running, but yeah.
I think it's the wrong form or that old link.
Oh, my apologies. I don't think that copied over correctly then. Just one moment.
No worries, thanks.
Okay, this one should be the updated one. All right, and for this one here, while the votes are coming in, I'll try to tabulate them and have the results by the end of the council meeting. I've been trying to be consistent with that. So if I don't manage to be able to do that, I'll have them, I'll email them out tonight. So I won't keep any of you all up waiting to hear. Okay, so we've collected quite a few votes, and as the final ones start coming in here, we'll just move on to our next motion here. So item 7D, Vice President Draper and Councillor Oliveira moved on behalf of the nominating committee for Students Council to ratify the appointment of Makbuli Faith to the vacant faculty of pharmacy seat on the General Faculty's Council. My apologies if I mispronounced that name, but Vice President Draper or Councillor Oliveira, I'll allow you a moment to introduce the motion here.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. So basically what has happened is GFC has changed the ways in which interim appointments happen for students to sit on GFC to allow for seats to actually be filled during the year for empty seats on GFC. So what has to happen is faculty associations can host an election, which is then sent to council nominating committee, which is then sent to council, which is then sent to GFC nominating committee, which is then ratified. So this is just one step in the process. The Alberta Pharmacy Students Association, APSA, has held an election, and Makbuli Faith has won that election. Mm-hmm. The process of the election was held, as well as relevant information was sent to nominating committee. Nominating committee ratified that, said it was all good with them, sent it back to council to be ratified so we can send it to GFC. So this is just one step in the process to have one more passionate student advocate defending what students want and what students need on behalf of the Faculty of Pharmacy on GFC. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Draper. So with that, I'll open the floor to any discussion or debate. And Councillor Bowes, I see you on the list here, so go ahead.
Yeah, so first of all, I will be voting in favor. I just have one question to ask from VP Draper. So I will be bringing forward two names. I will be sending those names to nominating committee, but what ESS has been planning is that we are not holding an election. We will do it via applications. So I was just wondering, are there any certain criteria or like how do you want the documentation to be?
All right, I'll allow for the answer to that question. Sorry, Councillor Bowes, I didn't quite hear who you posed the question to.
Oh, it's VP Draper.
Okay, Vice President Draper, go ahead.
Thank you, but my name in the speaking list just in case Councillor Brandwine is going to speak in front of me.
Sorry, Councillor Brandwine, go ahead.
Sounds good.
Hi, sorry. I've already said a few words to the nominating committee last week via email, but I just wanted to do it again here. So as pharmacy counselor on Students' Council, and as a fellow classmate of Makbuli, I feel like it would be rude of me not to speak about her appointment to council prior to ratification. So from my experiences getting to know her, I believe she's an outstanding student. She's an outstanding role model, quite literally the embodiment of professionalism and who cares deeply about the growth and the future of the pharmacy faculty. And she's also considerably involved in our faculty and in our students association, and is greatly respected by her staff and peers. So I do have complete confidence that she will fulfill her role in GFC with poise and dignity.
Thank you, Councillor Brandwine. Vice President Draper, go ahead.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. And thank you for those really kind words, Councillor Brandwine. I believe if she was here, she would be quite happy with having that said, because that was very, very thoughtful and nice of you to say for her. To Councillor Bose's question, the wording from GFC is that it is elected through the Faculty Association. So that can be through a election in the general election sense, or it can be elected similar to how we elect members to serve on committees through applications or nominations. So that is something that I'd love to clarify with you if you wanna sit down and have a meeting one afterwards, maybe sometime tomorrow or the next day, depending on when our schedules work out. But I'd be more than willing to sit down with you and the rest of the people on ESS who are working through that to help clarify some things.
Sounds good, thanks.
Excellent. So that exhausts our speakers list for this. So I'm just going to grab the link to vote here. And if anybody else has anything that they would like to say, that they are welcome to at this moment. But if not, we can go to a vote. Okay. I will post the link here. And there you go. It is open for responses. Excellent. I'll allow one more quick moment here for responses, but we've gathered quite a few, 24 already. Okay, so this motion passes unanimously with 24 votes in favor. So that's great news. Moving on to item 7E, President Agarwal moves to ratify the appointment of Roland Lay to the Advisory Search Committee for the Vice President Advancement. With that, I will call for a secondary to the motion. Councillor Saretsky, thank you. And with that, President Agarwal, I'll allow you a moment to introduce.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. So this is the ratification of the appointment of Rowan Lay to the Advisory Search Committee for the Vice President Advancement. So this position is essentially leading the university's advancement portfolio, supporting alumni relations and development of activities across the University of Alberta campuses, with more than 280,000 alumni located throughout the province and around the world. The advancement team works to support the U of A's mission and engaging that. So this is a vote that the executives put forward for Rowan Lay, who sits also on the Senate and would be ideal for this position.
Excellent. Thank you, President Agarwal. We'll open the floor to any discussion to the motion at hand. If anybody would like to speak, speakers list to be open in a minute, but if not, we can go ahead to vote here. Vice President Lay, go ahead.
Great. Thanks, Jared. Yeah, I just thought I should quickly justify to you all why I should be on this committee. So the VP Advancement, as Joel said, is responsible for the university's fundraising, and that's very important to my work as VP External. First of all, because I'm responsible for the students' union's fundraising, and one important aspect of that is making sure that we're working symbiotically with the university and not competing over the same donors. That creates a lot of problems and means that I need to be involved in the university fundraising sphere and know what's happening there. Through my work on Senate and Alumni Council, I spend a lot of time talking to university donors, and that gives me an opportunity to collaborate with the VP Advancement as well. I do have some experience with U of A fundraising issues. I was on the Board Reputation and Public Affairs Committee when I was on the Board of Governors last year, and that is the board body, which is responsible for overseeing fundraising. So I would really appreciate the opportunity to take on this challenge. This would be my first time on a search committee, but on a topic that I think I'm fairly familiar with. So if you'd all trust me to do this job, I would be very grateful.
Excellent. Thank you, Vice President Lay. And seeing nobody on the speakers list still, I'll move ahead with going to a vote here. And the link is open to vote. Okay, so with 24 votes now recorded here, with 25 votes recorded, 24 in favor and one abstention, the vote passes unanimously. Would the abstention like their abstention noted? If they would like to do so, just feel free to note it in the chat. But with that, that does exhaust the items on our agenda for board and committee business. Vice President Lay, perfect. Your abstention is noted. I figured it was from yours, but perfect. Okay, so moving into there, we do not have any items in the general orders, and the information items were noted earlier, so that exhausts our agenda for today. But we'll go into attendance here one last time before we get out, and then I'll be able to email the results of the Sustainability and Capital Fund Committee, because the results were rather scattered, so it'll take me a moment to tabulate everything. But President Agarwal?
Present.
Vice President Draper?
Hello, hello. Have a great Pride, everybody.
Vice President Lay?
Present.
Vice President Kron?
Present.
Vice President Kidd?
Here.
Board Representative Conrad?
Hey.
Councillor Carbajal was not here today. Councillor Dixon?
Yep, I'm here.
Councillor DeGrano?
Here.
Councillor Marquise?
Here.
Councillor Oliveira?
Here.
Councillor Veloso?
Here.
Councillor Yabut?
Here.
Councillor Burhani? Perfect. Councillor Saretsky?
Present.
Perfect. Councillor Ackerman?
Here.
Councillor Batiki?
Here.
Councillor Bid?
Yeah.
Councillor Bose?
Here.
Councillor Hariharan?
Here.
Perfect. Councillor Montero?
I'm here.
Councillor Buchanan?
Present.
Councillor Filipovich? Councillor Brandwine?
Present.
Councillor Enerson was not here today. Councillor Badesha?
You are.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Berzesh?
Present.
Councillor Dillon?
She left.
Okay. Councillor Futang?
Here.
Councillor Kamani?
Present.
Councillor Corday?
Present.
I am here and Mark is not. Okay, perfect. Well, everybody, that concludes tonight's council session. Thank you for all tuning in. We will, actually, I'll just probably look for a second just to make sure to adjourn council. Vice President Kidd, thank you. I saw that camera. So council will adjourn at 8:49 p.m. Our next meeting of Students Council will be on June 16th, and I hope you all have a great night. Well, goodbye, everybody. Oh, super fun fact. Mom just texted saying my brother got into college today, so that's cool.
Yay!
Awesome. He's doing criminology. Yeah. Nice. Okay, y'all. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.